Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Thursday night. Back from Dallas, a long, long travel day. And I'm here, and I'm glad to be with you. There's so much still to talk about for media day, and so I'm excited to do that with you. We'll do that tonight. The lead is, honestly, it's nothing about football necessarily tonight. It's a couple of things that happened, one of which happened yesterday. Should have talked about that with you guys yesterday, but I had that interview with Michael. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I thought it was good because he's really good. Just a big fan of Michael Katz, and so I wanted to upload that for you guys first before we got into this. And then something that happened on Monday that I didn't see that is making its rounds in the Ole Miss Twitter sphere today. And so we are going to talk about that as well on this edition of the Rebel Report. Of course, your comments as well. My name is Michael Borky. Again, I appreciate you guys being here. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already, wherever you get them, to search Rebel Report. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also, follow me on Twitter, social media, Facebook, YouTube. I should have said follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. But, oh well, we'll get through it together. I'm technically a professional, although just barely, I suppose. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Gregory Law Firm was with me all week at SEC Media Days as part of the Rebel Report. Again, I've got something coming for you tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. So you're just getting more, thanks to the Gregory Law Firm. Saltillo, Mississippi, 662-397-9799 is the phone number. The Gregory Law Firm, personal injury, small business, and contract disputes as well. Don't delay. Call DJ today. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. You're not just a number with DJ Gregory. You are a person, a human. He'll treat you like that. He will build a relationship and not just look at you like a dollar sign, because DJ Gregory has got you covered for all your small business, personal injury, or contract disputes. The Gregory Law Firm presenting tonight's edition of the Rebel Report live. Yes, I know. I am battling against tonight the conclusion of the convention, the Republican convention. So I know that there are a lot of eyeballs that are being taken away from this and on to that. So if you're here, you are either A, balancing both, B, not interested in Republicans, which I welcome all of you. If you want to hear about sports, I don't care what side of the political aisle that you are on. But so you're either A, watching both, B, not interested in what's going on in the Republican convention, or C, not politically interested at all. Either way, I am glad that you guys are here. Let's dive into it. So yesterday, Mississippi State making their rounds at SEC Media Days, and you had two things that were said about Ole Miss from one, a linebacker, one of the players, and two, from Jeff Lebby himself. Is Egg Bowl smack talk back? Maybe, at least from the Mississippi State side yesterday in Dallas. Now, you guys might not like my take on this, frankly. I have got a non-controversial opinion about this, frankly. I know that you're supposed to do that, but I really think that at least when it comes to the player, it's completely harmless. Like, what he said is harmless. Now, we'll get into, you know, why you're saying that, considering the current state and the recent state of the two programs. But it's harmless, right? Like, no, we run the state. They want to be like us. That's harmless smack talk, right? Might have been a little bit more juice behind Jeff Lebby referring to Lane Kiffin as childish, talking about the Twitter interactions. Is Egg Bowl smack talk back? Maybe so. Let's start with the player, though. This really wouldn't have gotten anywhere if not for Chris Lowe of ESPN. He put it out on Twitter because John Lewis did not say it with us on our radio show. I haven't seen the video of this anywhere. So Chris Lowe is the one that brought this out there. But here is what Chris Lowe said. Quote, Mississippi State linebacker John Lewis roasted Ole Miss's come to the sip mantra. And here's John Lewis's quote. It's overrated. This is our state. Everybody knows that. We run the SIP because we run Mississippi. We've been saying it. They're just following us, so it's okay. They literally want to be us. Again, frankly, I like stuff like this. It gives good conversation fodder. It's not like he used foul language. It's not like he cussed somebody's girlfriend or mom or whatever. It's just, we run the SIP. It's our state, all that stuff. Like that to me is so harmless. But if I were a Mississippi State fan, I would have not been angry that he said it, but just kind of done one of these right here. And I assume that one of the SIDs also did one of those kind of like, damn it. Because I don't want to use the word stupid, because it's not stupid. It's just, this is very poor timing to say something like that, all things considered. Lane Kiffin has won three of those Egg Bowls. Ole Miss, now this sounds like I'm taking a shot at the player. I'm really not, but this just kind of puts it into perspective of how poorly timed this was. So, again, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin's won three. They won last year. They're doing better in in-state recruiting. They are far higher projected this going into the season. Ole Miss will be ranked somewhere in the top 10 preseason. They'll be somewhere in the top four in the order of finish. Mississippi State will be 14 or 15, I think. This should come out tomorrow, and we'll talk about that as well at some point on here. So, again, you're getting beat on the field. You're getting beat in in-state recruiting. You're getting beat in terms of program status, national status. And Ole Miss had more wins than you had solo tackles last season. It's just not the right time to say something like that because of simply how factually inaccurate it is. It would be like Texas claiming they own Red River. No, they don't. But this one is a little bit worse even. So, look, I kind of got a kick out of it. I laughed about it. I made my boss laugh a lot when I brought up the stat that Ole Miss's punter has more Egg Bowl tackles than he does. That really got him to laugh on the show today. I don't think he was expecting that from me. Because I don't take shots like that very often, but it was just right there for me. But I saw everybody's reaction, and it was mostly just like, wait, what the hell are you talking about? But I find it harmless. It's incredibly wrong, but it's just, you know, a player just, you know, hyping himself and his team up, and no big deal. I am far more interested in the Jeff Lebby side of this, in what they really feel about each other. I know there's obvious mutual respect. Like they did good things together. They watch film. They know, each of them know how good the other one is when it comes to football and coaching offense. So there is a respect level there. I would love to know, like, if you could give them each truth serum. Okay, what do you really think? Because there's rumors, and who knows if they're true or not, about the end of the Lebby era at Ole Miss, and like how that relationship was or wasn't, I guess would be a better phrase. I mean, who knows if it's actually true or not. But I think that is far more interesting. Jeff Lebby talking about Kiffin's Twitter, of all things, he was asked about it. He did not volunteer it. But that, to me, is a lot more spicy than John Lewis saying, you know, this is our state, we run this state. And that's just something that you hear all the time, whether or not it's true. I don't think there's much depth to that. I think there's some depth to what Jeff Lebby had to say. Although it also kind of shines a light on where the two programs are, and frankly, how different, in a different place they are. Because, I mean, and maybe it was just a product of the questions, but I followed Ole Miss around on Monday and had all three players on the radio show, and Kiffin and Mississippi State was not a topic of conversation. And to take it one step further, here's Trey Zune of Texas A&M. He was asked about the rivalry with Texas, and he said, quote, "We're focused on getting better every single day and focused for the next game. We're getting ready for Notre Dame. But I did hear that Texas might be on our schedule this year." That, if look, I don't know how Mississippi State feels about that quote, but I have a feeling that the SIDs would have preferred that angle as opposed to the other. But either way, pretty harmless. The next thing that I want to talk about with you guys, I think, is a lot worse. And I, full disclosure, I didn't see this. So, inside baseball, whatever, it's not a big deal. But what goes on the SEC network during media days, despite being there, like, next to the studio setup, right? We don't hear it. We have no idea what goes on the SEC network during media days. We don't hear it. Like, we see, like, when Nick Saban's on, like, you can look over and, oh, Nick Saban's sitting up there. But you don't hear it. There's no, like, loudspeaker. There's nothing for us to see. And so I knew at some point Lane Kiffin was going to be on with Feinbaum, because every coach is. I was not aware until today of what happened on there. And I wouldn't have been aware of it anyway if I was at media days or not, because that's just not something that I will ever consume willingly. But I saw the video floating around. If you guys haven't seen it, Paul Feinbaum, yet again with Lane Kiffin, is bringing up the past termination and the role he possibly played in it. And Kiffin, frankly, had had enough and brought up, yeah, I got fired. You called me the Miley Cyrus of college football, and look at how successful Miley is. I got to work with Nick Saban. Like, I'm in good shape right now. Brought up something else that Paul was very, very wrong about in the past, and then fired back at him and said, I'm trying to figure out what you are good at. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. The video's out there. I did not see that exchange Monday. I did not see that interaction. And if you guys listen to me long enough, you know how I feel about the SEC network having that as, like, their premier show, their premier analyst, that, like, that's what the Southeastern Conference approves of, to have their most forward-facing and recognizable media production. I've always thought that's a bad move. I understand the appeal for some people. I get that he built such a name for himself by having the show where he would just take calls and let people yell back and forth at each other. I get why it got to that point, but that being the forward-facing thing of the SEC network has always confused me, because you have really smart, really good football analysts that would provide real substance to the conversation, as opposed to what you get with that. And they would be better served to take that route as opposed to what they currently do. But what happened Monday, I thought, was especially egregious, because, and I know I brought this up a couple of times with you guys this week. We talked about it on Monday. Michael and I talked about it in that interview, so it's kind of getting repetitive. But it's hard to describe how different Lane Kiffin's appearance and like aura, is that the right word, on Monday was compared to years past, and completely and totally understandably so. Usually Lane Kiffin has like that rock star energy in a setting like that, where everybody's got to be in the room when Kiffin's talking. Everybody's got to go to the breakout rooms when he's talking. Everybody's trying to grab him and pull him in, and, you know, what's he going to say? And he usually approaches it with an agenda to talk about, like, big picture college football stuff or whatever. Usually got better energy in settings like that. But You could tell from the second he took the stage and every appearance after that, that the passing of his father was weighing on him. You could see it, you could feel it. And it also felt like everybody there understood that. Greg Sankey, when he introduced him with that being the lead of, you know, want to recognize Monty Kiffin, this, this, and this. Lane took the stage and talked about it for a while. You guys heard it. You saw it. He did an exceptional job. But you could feel it all day long that he's a human being. He lost his father. It seemed like he was sad, which there's no way you could have gotten me to do that. Like the fact that he got through it and talked football with people and even smiled some and like cracked a couple jokes and talked about Saban finally learning how to text. And, you know, he offered a lot of football insights too. There's no way you could have gotten me to do that. And he, the fact that he was even there at all was impressive, but he was there and still what was thoughtful and insightful, but you could tell that it was different. And everybody there seemed to understand that, except for the most forward-facing analyst expert on the SEC network. And so I get the shtick, and I get the purpose of the show and the trolling and, like, the blowhard radio guy stuff. I understand that. Like, I work in that business. I try not to be that guy. But that's what that platform's for. I get it. But when you can watch him walk around and on the stage and kind of recognize that this is a little bit different, this is not the year for this. And when you get him to sit next to you, you still like kind of poke him about maybe the lowest point in his career while he's sitting there clearly with a heavy heart. I thought was just so, it's just low. It's extremely low. And having the SEC's logo essentially endorsing that is just wild to me. So I did not see that interaction Monday. So sorry, I'm kind of rehashing something we've already talked about in terms of like the mood and things like that. Again, completely understandably so. The fact that he went through that, I would not have been able to personally. There's no way you could have gotten me to do that. But how somebody in Feinbaum's position can watch all that happen all day and then like needle him about one of the lowest days, if not the lowest day in his career, is just, it's just crap, is the only adjective that I can come up with to adequately describe that. It's crap. And it's just par for the course at this point. And that's a shame because there's really smart, really talented people that work at the SEC network or around the SEC that wouldn't have done something like that on that day. So we'll get to your comments after this. After I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Again, anywhere in Mississippi, anywhere in Mississippi. Office technology, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Live from Germany, Anthony, glad to see you, my friend. Glad to see you. You have me, a certain live conference going, and Brandon texting you. My VA therapist is going to hear about this. God bless you, man. Welcome in. Yes, welcome in, Brandon. You're battling against Kid Rock, Elon Musk, and Hulk Hogan. As soon as they get on stage, you'll have to be out. Enjoy yourself, man. I'm just glad you're here at all. Great job getting Neil and Cross together. Yeah, I mean, I really think that Neil is very insightful. And, okay, articulate's not the right word. Like, he's an adult man that's worked in media for a long time. So calling him articulate is, like, kind of a dumb thing. That's like, I tell people my four-year-old's articulate. But what I'm trying to say when I say that is delivery. So insightful, covered the SEC for a long time, and you can tell. But like the delivery of his takes is quite good. It keeps you listening. He's really good at like establishing a take and like wanting you to continue to listen until completion. You know what I mean? He's very, very good at that. So yeah, we haven't played that on the radio show yet. I think we might do that tomorrow. We've got a bunch of teams to catch up on the 100 teams in 100 days. We've got a couple more interviews to play. The all SEC teams will be out. So if not tomorrow, we'll play that sometime next week because it was really good and it's worth playing. But I think Neil already put that on their podcast feed, but it just, the two of them talking ball was quite good. I kind of made them do that and I went and grabbed lunch. So, it was really good. Who wants to be like Mississippi State this year? Not that guy. Smack talk from a linebacker with 8 tackles. Yeah. Just the timing of that just could have been better. Watched a Sooner podcast that said Ole Miss is just upset about them replacing Ole Miss on the top side of the pecking order at the top of the SEC. I have not heard a single Ole Miss fan say or insinuate that they are in any way, shape, or form as somebody tries to hack my phone from a city in China. How about that? That they are upset, mad, scared, anything of the sort of Oklahoma. I literally have not heard a single person, not one person, even come close to being scared of Oklahoma. Not one. It is harmless, but it makes things fun. Absolutely. You probably have more tackles in football. I do like the comment. It's a rivalry, so let's be rivals. I have no problem with it. Exactly. It'd be different if it was something like vulgar. It's just, you know, we run the state. You don't, but, you know, I admire you for thinking that you do. 43 days needs to hurry up. At least the Olympics will take up 14 days of that. Absolutely. I love the Olympics. I really do. I know that interest has waned a little bit, but I'm excited. I really am. I'm going to watch our U23 soccer. Walker Zimmerman actually is playing for them, which is interesting because he was a World Cup participant as well, and they didn't bring him to Copa and whatever. USA Soccer is a mess, but I'll watch that a lot. I always watch the swimming, and I always watch the gymnastics, and I will probably watch every basketball game as well. Glad I could make it tonight. Glad you could make it tonight. Absolutely, William. Glad to see you. He's just pumping up their fans. Nobody with a brain took him serious. Yeah. I loved Feinbaum's reaction to Kiffin's comment. I really think it took him off guard. I'm someone personally who can't stand him or his brand. I can't stand him for snapping back, though. Yeah, I don't want to try to read too far into something, but part of me does wonder if that was a product of just kind of the mood. But he's a moron. He's only on because of the SEC office being in Birmingham. His callers make the show unwatchable. Lane is swinging a bigger stick these days than him. I'm glad he's our coach. That guy's fantastic. Absolutely. Sup, Scott. Glad to see you, man. Pick my winners. Week 1, A&M versus Notre Dame. North Dakota State versus Colorado. Florida versus Miami. LSU versus USC with scores. Okay, with scores. I can do that. I think Texas A&M is going to beat Notre Dame. I will go 28-24 with that one. North Dakota State is not the North Dakota State of the past. They're still good and solid. If we were talking about the Jackrabbits, South Dakota State, then maybe you've got something here. I think Colorado will win. I think there's a chance that it's dicey early, but Shedeur Sanders is a very good quarterback, despite him openly talking about how bad his offensive line is. Travis Hunter, it might be the most outstanding player in college football. North Dakota State doesn't have anybody that can contain a guy like that. So wouldn't be surprised if it's a really high-scoring game, like 45-28, something like that, 45-28. But I do think Colorado is going to win that game. I don't think they're going to win very many games, but I do think that they will win that one. Florida-Miami, I'm picking Florida straight up. I think it's going to be an ugly game. Let's see. I did not think about scores until I saw your message. 17-14 Florida. LSU-USC, a lot of points are going to be scored in that game. 42-38 USC. I think I like USC in that one. I do. Jimbo Feinbaum, the new clown of the SEC. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked that interview. What I'm really excited to bring you guys is I've mentioned it before, but the Senior Bowl quotes. I'm really excited to bring that to you guys. That might surprise some people. That was a really, really good one. Where do you think Ole Miss is going to end up, by the way, in the preseason predicted order of finish? I voted them third, for what it's worth to you. I voted Ole Miss third. And it was, oh gosh, I don't remember my order exactly. I'll have to write it out for the show tomorrow. Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama, Missouri, Tennessee. Right? So Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama. Yes, I picked Alabama ahead of Missouri. Alabama, Missouri, Tennessee. Who did I have next? Texas A&M? I believe that. No. LSU, Texas A&M, Kentucky, Florida, Vanderbilt I had last, Arkansas I had 15, State I had 14, Auburn 13, I think that's my order. I think that's my order. So, Ole Miss fans are just going into this season ready for this season. Absolutely, yeah. I did have an interview with a guy that covers Oklahoma that did not share the sentiment of whichever podcast you were talking about. They are nervous is not the right word, but they it seemed like they understood about what they're walking into as opposed to Texas. God, I know that we were in Dallas. I know that we were in Texas. But my goodness, guys, that speaking of the SEC network, when you have somebody on the SEC network now who said that the Iron Bowl does not have national profile, person has a Texas background, that said the Iron Bowl doesn't have a national profile. That's the kind of stuff we're doing on the SEC network now. But between that and just every single coach, hey, coach, you're not talking about Texas right now. You don't play them this year, but tell me about how great Texas is. It's exhausting. And I know it's new, and so I shouldn't be that cynical, but it was exhausting. The volume of Texas questions that were asked to coaches and players that are not playing Texas was exhausting. It really was. Can't wait for the Snoop Dogg commentary for the Olympics. Me either. That's going to be great. Listened to the interviews and really enjoyed the time with Trey Harris. Yeah, I was really disappointed in myself about how the Ivy interview came out. I'll put that on this feed as well. Only because of me, exclusively because of me. As I told you guys earlier in the week, and I was right when I said that there are going to be some guys that come through that are not going to provide anything. And I don't mean to be rude. That sounds rude, but some guys are just made for that and others aren't. Ole Miss brought guys that are made for that. Ivy's just exceptional. Harrison, I'm glad you liked that interview. He was exceptional. Jackson Dart's exceptional. And what I keep going back to is, like, listen closely to Jackson Dart and any of them, whether it be like a one-on-one interview that he did or the breakout sessions or whatever. Go find a Jackson Dart interview. There's transcript online if you want to just read it. I'm not saying that he is this guy, because this guy's the greatest quarterback of all time. Okay? I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about play on the field. although a lot of people think really highly of his play on the field, myself included, listen to Jackson's answers. He sounds like Brady. He sounds like a professional. And not just a professional, but a professional winner. That's what he sounds like. Jared Ivey sounds like Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan's on the end of his career, but like Cam Jordan like 5 years ago. That's who Jared Ivey, that's what he talks like. I'm not talking about voice inflection. I mean, the answers that he gives. That's what Trey Harris sounds like. Those three guys talked like professionals. And I don't mean professional talkers. I mean professional football players. Where you have this aura of maturity. Like Trey Harris, I got to become a better route runner. I have to. I mean, if I'm going to help my team win, I have to run better routes. I've got to get better here. We haven't won anything yet. I understand that fans have expectations, and the expectations are great, but until we work our, you know, what's off every single day, it doesn't matter. That's Jared Ivey. My motor's got to get better. I've got to be in better shape to where I can play every snap at maximum effort. Yeah, I know that these are expectations, but I've got to get a lot better if I'm going to meet that. The humbleness, they sounded like NFL football players, and not everybody that goes through that rotation sounds like NFL players. So where can we find tape on Saban's comments about Ole Miss? It was live on the SEC Network. I have not seen it clipped. I will look for it, though, because I would like to play it at some point. I will try to find it for you. I will. Your guesses on those games, A&M 34-28. I think A&M's beating Notre Dame. I really do, so I'm with you. Colorado 51-30. I like that pick there, too. Kind of dicey early, but they pull away. Florida 31-28, LSU 27-17. The only one I don't love, and because I don't love it, you're definitely going to be right because I don't like it, is LSU holding USC to only 17 points. Milroe's overrated. Good luck with that. I agree. I do not think the talent around him is. You got a ballot to vote on. You had Ole Miss third, Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Bama, Missouri, Tennessee, LSU, A&M, Oklahoma. Oh, I forgot to mention Oklahoma. Oklahoma I had ahead of Texas A&M, behind LSU. Kentucky, Auburn, Florida, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Vanderbilt. Hard to argue with that one. You also had Jackson Dart as a second quarterback behind Carson Beck, Trey Harris behind Burden, and Priestcorn first-team tight end. Love that. Love all of that. Diego Pounds was not available for me. I found that interesting. He was not going to be like my first-team guy or anything close, but Ole Miss only had two offensive linemen available, and neither of them were incoming transfers. I had Walter Nolan on my first team. I think I had Umane Mielen on my second team. So, Oklahoma is much more humble than Texas. I got that vibe this week. I did. A couple totally unrelated things. Thoughts on the media reveal red jerseys with the powder SEC patches and the powder helmets with gray face masks and the fact that Logan Diggs is wearing 22. Yeah, I saw that. I love the powder SEC patch on the red jerseys. I love it. I have not seen the powder jerseys yet. Either the college football video game is wrong or those got upgraded. The red outline on the script Ole Miss on the chest on the powder jerseys really pops on that video game. I hope that's a real adjustment. It may not be. I have not seen like an updated powder jersey, but I liked it. I like that color on the red. If you guys know me well enough, you know that I think that, frankly, powder should be Ole Miss's primary blue. That and the red just contrast so, so, so well. Like the colors look good, really good together. They pop and they're pretty unique to you. And the story for how powder came about is one of those really cool college sports stories that, you know, each school kind of has something like that. Like, hey, where did this come from? Hey, where did the powder blue come from? This is where. And So I would pivot completely in that direction myself. But Jackson's one of the best quarterbacks to come through Ole Miss ever. He's honestly better than Eli. It has taken Ole Miss fans way too long to start realizing this. If he takes a step forward at all this season, if Ole Miss goes to the playoff and wins a game, he'll leave Ole Miss as the greatest quarterback in modern program history. And you would only start talking about guys that played before my dad was born mostly. So you pick Nolan's second team, you think? It's odd that Princely and Chris Paul. Yeah, no, that's right. The transfers, man. Yeah, it was weird. I'm with you. The setup was weird. I have my teams written down somewhere, but I did submit them, so my vote will count. I did not have Princely. You're right. Yeah, that was odd. I don't know how they select players to be selected. You're not buying into USC personally. I think they take a step back this year, even on offense. There's a chance, I mean, without Caleb Williams, but look at Oklahoma's schedule. That's why you have them low. Yeah, welcome to the SEC, Brent. Is the kid from Madison Central going to be the starting running back at Georgia? So I think he went to Germantown, and no. No, that will be the Florida transfer, I think. But no, he's not going to start at Georgia this year. Barring injuries. Physically, he's always looked like a freak, but anyway. Nolan's a cheat code in NCAA, at least. They have Ole Miss's sideline reversed in the game. Also, the offense does the land shark for some reason. Yeah, it looked like there's a lot of attention to detail errors in that game. So I guess Centarian Perkins and a handful of other defensive players are not in it as of this moment. You had the omission of, like, the upper deck on Texas State Stadium, the sidelines being flipped with Ole Miss. Gosh, the hottie-totty that they have where Reese Davis, you can almost, like, feel the pain in his voice when he says, "Ole Miss, by golly." Like, you can feel as it's coming out of his mouth, like, this is embarrassing that I'm saying this. There's been a lot of funny videos and stuff of guys doing the road to glory as like the underdogs, and they never get any playing time. And when they play, they like can't catch the ball and stuff. It's been really funny. I won't be able to play until I upgrade my system, and that's not coming for a while. So anyway, it basically is at this point with powder being worn more than Navy. I do think that's coming straight from the top. I think that's a Kiffin thing. I could be wrong. I don't know for sure. It's just like I think that that's what's happening. I have no insight on that whatsoever, which is probably how you can describe most things, if not everything. But I do think that's a Kiffin thing. The old heads don't like it, though. I get it. Change is hard. It'd be different if the powder blue just kind of randomly showed up out of nowhere. But there's a story. Where did the powder blue come from? And Dart is not better than Eli yet, at least. No, not yet. Not yet. But he can leave Ole Miss this season as the best quarterback in modern program history. As I understand it, I could be wrong or have details wrong. But as I understand it, a helmet painter, so they used to ship off the helmets to get painted, used the wrong color blue on Ole Miss's helmets. And it was too late when they were returned to Ole Miss. It was too late to get them fixed. And so they had to wear them. And it was that color, powder blue. But, I mean, Chucky Mullins wore powder blue. You know, Archie did. Your two most iconic players for different reasons, but still wore that color. So it's deeply rooted in your history. So it might be concerning that you only chose one Missouri player in the whole ballot. they could be shaking on defense. Yeah, it's starting to get pointed out. Like, there's been some revisionist history on Missouri's season last year to a degree. They were a good team. They earned all of their accolades, all that. But, ooh, they had a lot of close wins to bad teams. Not close conference wins. Close conference wins are good wins regardless. But, like, they should have lost to, what was it, Middle Tennessee? They scraped by in times that they shouldn't have. So Utah takes the Big 12 and the Ducks take the Big 10. Like that, like both of those. I think Ohio State has the best roster in college football, but I do think Oregon will be better coached and have a better quarterback. You almost vomited hearing the hottie toddy for the first time. It's so bad on that video game. It is so bad. Oh, man. The game is not currently finished. It has a large patch coming. Nowadays, almost every game gets released unfinished because people buy them anyways and they just try to fix stuff later. Yeah, it's kind of pathetic, though, right? I mean, you had years and just like fundamental errors in the thing it's disappointing. Powder's better for branding. The kids want to wear it. Absolutely, they do. It's running on an engine from 2015. Is it really? That's a Call of Duty move right there. You think the Navy gray is an elite combo? Top three for sure. I disagree completely. But hey, and what's amazing about it, it's still a good looking uniform, even though I disagree. Like, there's not one uniform that Ole Miss has worn in the Kiffin era. Need to preface that. In the Kiffin era, that is not objectively good looking. So, considering only the playoff era, where do you rate Ole Miss's program compared to Auburn? I think Ole Miss has surpassed them to this point. Absolutely, they have. In every measurable way, other than Hugh Freeze's high school recruiting class. On the field results, Ole Miss. What else matters? Well, Hugh Freeze is recruiting these receivers. That's great. That is great. Maybe that turns into wins 2 years from now. What are you today? What have you been lately? Ole Miss today and lately is a much better program than that of Auburn. It's really that simple. There's an article that came out today talking about was it Clemson's defensive line coach that straight up referenced that facilities that just kids don't, as long as they're adequate, the kids don't care. Is facility good enough? Fine. It's far more transactional. Tradition, history, it just doesn't matter anymore. Georgia and Ohio State are not getting players because of their tradition and history. Trey Harris is broken in the game. He's also broken in real life. Did see, you know, people are again talking about Deion Smith. And look, if he ends up, you know, all good and goes through camp and is ready to play, that's a great luxury for Ole Miss. But I've maintained that I am far more high on Trey Harris than I am somebody that has not taken a meaningful SEC snap yet. And it's not a knock on the guy. I mean, when as many people that would know say incredibly great things about him as a player, then you should listen, right? But I feel safer in the known, and I know that Trey Harris is an elite wide receiver. I know that Jordan Watkins is highly, highly, highly productive. I know that when healthy, Juice Wells is incredibly productive, borderline elite himself. He might even be elite. Those are things that are known already. And so whatever Deion Smith can give them, whether it's 1,000 yards or 100 yards, is a luxury because I think you've already got established and known already. So however he can help is great. If he's the player that everybody says he is, then holy crap. I mean, how could you possibly stop this Ole Miss offense? I haven't understood the obsession considering the brilliance of Trey Harris on the field and the brilliance of Trey Harris off the field. you know? That's all. That's the only angle I'm taking with that. Missouri beat LSU last year. They had a 4th-and-18 versus Florida. That's right. You like having both blues? You would hate to lose the Navy. Navy looks better than powder in night games. I'm biased. I shouldn't even respond to that because I'm just like, I love that powder blue color so much that I probably can't even look at that rationally. You think you're dropping Missouri to 9-3? Get upset on the road at South Carolina. Ooh, that might save one Shane Beamer's job. They rushed their release because they were on a time crunch. Man, sounds like Halo when they rushed their release and that was a flop after years of hype and buildup. White helmet, red, white, looks like Nebraska and you don't like it. I understand why you don't like it. It's still like technically like a very good looking uniform though. Powder helmet, red jersey, white pants. To me, it's powder red gray is the best looking one. Appreciate that, Jeffrey. Thank you, man. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad that anybody's here considering, you know. Like even my guy Brandon dipped out to go watch the convention tonight. I can always count on Brandon. And even he left. It's a shame. Your favorites are powder red navy. Oh, in that order, powder red navy and the real tree, powder white. Wait, powder red navy, like navy pants? They don't have those anymore. I'm probably just confused. I'm an idiot. Forgive me. They may get Auburn's receivers from the portal? Possibly. Playing on the road in the video game is awesome. It actually feels like you have a lot of pressure on you. That's interesting. Passing the ball is a learning curve, but it's cool. I heard the option is like reversed too, but I won't be playing it anytime soon anyway. So settling on 4 SEC playoff teams, Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Bama. I think they'll get 4 as well. I think they'll get 4 as well. But anyway, I have got to run. It is not to engage with politics necessarily, but I've got a couple things that I've got to do here, work-related. So I've got to run. Thank you guys so much, as always, for being here. You guys are the best. We will be back on snow. No, we will not be back on Sunday. I'm going to bring you guys what Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl said about the Ole Miss it's not the wide receiver room, the running back room. And you're going to love what you hear. So I'll have a video about that for you tomorrow. I will have, oh gosh, what was I going to do Saturday? Anyway, I'll have something for you Saturday as well. And then we'll be live again on Sunday. So more stuff coming your way. So thank you guys for being here and enjoy the rest of your night. And I'll see you tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.